part of TheFinCider.com and the SB Nation Network.
And now,
your host, Matthew Cannata, joined by co-hosts Josh Houts and Aaron Sutton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to FinSider Radio. This is Matt Cannata, joined by Aaron Sutton and Joshua Houts. That's week 2 weeks in a row, everybody. 2 weeks, we have the full squad here and ready to go. However, that streak is going to end in another 2 weeks when me, the host of FinSider Radio, the co-host of FinSider Radio, Matthew Cannata, goes on vacation. We are headed to Sesame's Place out in New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
You almost said Sesame Street.
I have no idea where it is. Yeah,
it's Pennsylvania. We literally went over this last week.
Lots of exciting stuff happening in our lives. Houts, I understand that you have some fantasy football news to share in just a few minutes. Sutton is going on vacation this week with all 35 of his children. And I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks. So, yeah, a lot of exciting stuff.
Tell them our social security number, too, so people can come rob us.
The dead
steal
season.
Our identity.
Yeah, and our net worth, you piece of trash.
Do you want me to? I do have your social security number.
Oh, shit.
Hate you.
The dead of the offseason in the NFL, just like we talked about last week, there is nothing happening in this world of Miami Dolphins football, with the exception of the fact that the Miami Dolphins creative team were named one of the top five in sports at the Sports Summit. So congratulations to the Dolphins and their creative team on all the digital work they do and all the great content they put out, whether it's graphics, videos, photos, and more, led by the very talented Surf Melendez. Kudos to them. Kudos to their entire team. They have a lot of talented, hardworking people, and that award is well-deserved. Other than that, there is absolutely nothing. Nothing about Josh Rosen, nothing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, a little bit about the cornerback position that we're going to touch on tonight, but let's push that off for a little bit. Let's talk about our own lives right now. Houts, talk to us. Fantasy football, you got something big going on.
Really? Okay. I entered the Scott Fish Bowl, which he does every year, and all the money goes to charity, and it is a huge, huge fantasy league with about 1,000-plus different guys. The theme this year was video game characters, so I made it into the PlayStation, the freaking Sly Cooper fantasy league, and I'm just going to go out there, and I'm going to represent Pro Football Network and win the prize, and I'm going to be that guy holding the belt talking crap to everybody when next season comes around.
Do you need help with your draft?
From you, no.
Okay. So what pick do you have in the draft?
I have the third pick in the draft.
And who do you plan on selecting with the third pick? Kenyon Drake?
If Jesus watches over me, Christian McCaffrey will fall. But if not, it's probably going to be Zeke Elliott.
Okay. So how do you see the top two picks shaking out then for you to get McCaffrey?
It would have to probably be Saquon and Zeke, I'd imagine.
Saquon and Zeke. Now, let's play some devil's advocate for you, okay? David Johnson won't go top two, right?
Probably not, no.
How about Alvin Kamara?
Possibly, if someone really likes him, but I...
Someone's a Saints fan in front of you?
Yeah, that's what it comes
perhaps
down.
So you got your top four, right? Saquon, Zeke, Christian, and Alvin. You also got Melvin Gordon probably in the mix there, right? But he's not top three. He could go top two if someone's a Chargers fan. But I think you're sitting pretty nice. I mean, you could just throw a wrench into everything and pick Josh Rosen third overall.
Yeah, but he's probably going to go undrafted. And let's be honest, Fitzpatrick starting the season, as much as people don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
So there's thousands of people in this league. Are everybody, no. Are everybody split
there's
up into divisions?
There's not a thousand-person league.
No, there's thousands of people in this thing. Is it all 12?
Yeah, it's like 100 different leagues with 12 people in it, and then somehow it all comes together. You just draft your lineup. I don't think you set it. I don't think you make trades. I don't think you pick up free agents. I think you just let it go. And
oh, it's best ball.
Yep, you just let it go, and you just hope for the best.
Nice. So, like, do all the winners at the end then go into one league?
Yes, I believe that's how it works.
Nice. Okay.
I'm just trying to remember to show up for the draft. After that, then I'll let the rest of it play out. But
you know what? I'm going to do a lot of best balls this year.
I'm at 22 so far.
Yeah, but I know. So you draft and forget about it. And draft is the best part about fantasy football. But how do you draft this early? I can't do that. I can't draft this early.
I have money left over from previous years. So,
but you're wasting it. You're wasting it.
It's like $3 though. So if I win, I get 15. If I lose, I lose $3 and I get a mock out of it. It's all right.
All right. So you do this on your mobile phone?
Yes, on my mobile cellular device.
What kind of phone do you have?
What about your rotary phone?
It's one of those big
Josh, iPhones. Do you use your rotary phone at all?
No, but I do have the. I do understand that Sutton has a Razor or a Sidekick. Is this correct?
Sutton, you have a Razor phone still?
Yeah, with Cricket Wireless.
Cricket,
do you really?
35 kid plan.
Do they have the 35 kid plan on Cricket?
Yeah, at Walmart they do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many kids can you put on it? For real? What's the maximum? 35?
Yeah, it's actually a 35 child plan. And
no, you're lying.
They divide them into five groups of seven though. So like one group of five kids gets a day of the week to use the phone, and then it goes to the next group of five. They can use it on Monday, say. And then the next group of five uses it on Tuesday. So that's how they break down the plan.
So you set up your household in a rotation to use the phone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You basically have time to watch like one 15-minute video and then you're done for the entire week.
How do you control these kids, Sutton?
With a phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. Okay. All right. So, we found out this week how it's that Sutton does not know what happens with a phone, like doesn't know the apps that can go on it. He told us he was going to be off of Slack for several days because he was going to be on vacation. Apparently he doesn't realize you can have an app on your phone for Slack. He thinks the world revolves around desktops still.
I don't like phones. I don't like having something pressed against my ear when I'm talking to somebody. I don't know.
So you don't talk with something against your ear on Slack. You type.
Yeah, I know, but then it's all small and
stupid. Yeah, I don't like talking to anybody on the phone. I'll text you, but I'm with you, son. Don't put that phone up to your ear.
We don't want you to die.
Yeah, it's got the radiation and stuff, and
yeah,
you know, it's just not healthy. Matthew, you're outside, you're mulching all day, and then you have that cell phone radiation just pulsating into your eardrums, man. You're going to be deaf in like 5 years.
Speaking of mulching and yard work, I am headed out this weekend for a guy's night out.
Ooh, what are you guys going to do?
You guys aren't mulching, are you?
Please tell me it has nothing to do with fertilizer.
Me and my mulching crew are going out this weekend. It has going to taste some soil.
It has nothing to do with any of that. But I will keep you all posted on Twitter and through text messaging and through Slack. And we'll kind of just go from there and see where the night takes us.
Well, that wasn't much of a teaser. I think you're going to have to give us a little something more to chew on there.
Not right now. But what I can give you something to chew on is the number two cornerback position for the Miami Dolphins. And that right now is up in the air. And Houts, I know you have something pretty special planned to release on thefinsider.com on Thursday morning.
This is twice now you're doing
this.
It's just an article about Eric Rowe. It's nothing. It's nothing crazy. Jesus.
Dude, this is some Emmy-winning stuff, man. Stop downplaying it.
Yeah, it's going to win like a Peabody or whatever. But I'm doing a little breakdown on Eric Rowe. I think he is the Dolphins' best chance at a number two defensive back. I guess that's where Kanata was trying to get into this. Maybe he had to go watch after one of his children. I don't know where he's going to figure out where Sesame Place is. But, I mean, when you look at the Dolphins, you know.
I gave this pitch to you so you can just kind of transition into your film breakdown. And apparently you missed the memo completely.
Yeah, I didn't read that email. You probably sent it to the wrong one.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I mean, you look at their roster, you look at what they have there, they have Xavien Howard, and that's pretty much the only certainty. You know, in the secondary right now, we heard Omar Kelly come out. I know we're going to talk about it. He mentioned that Minkah Fitzpatrick was most likely to take some snaps at nickel in the slot, and then Bobby McCain's actually going to move to free safety. So you're still looking at who could possibly be that number two corner opposite of Xavien Howard. You know, if you're not going Bobby McCain, you got Jalen Davis, who has a chance, Cordrea Tankersley. Walt Akins is still around. I mean, there's these different guys that could maybe, you know, find a way to compete with a guy like Eric Rowe. But it, to me, the biggest thing with Eric Rowe has always been his health. And if he can remain healthy, he's still 26 years old. You know, he did some good things under Brian Flores in New England. Combined 80 tackles throughout his career, 66 solo. He's only had two interceptions, which is kind of a big thing when you're looking at corners. I mean, Tom Brady gets picked off by Xavien Howard more than two times in a season. So that's really, if you're looking at takeaways, it's not that inspiring. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people viewed him as a very good cornerback coming out of Utah. You know, what he's been battling through were injuries throughout his career. I think the coaching staff took a flyer on him. He has a one-year deal worth $6 million. Worst case, Eric Rowe is a, you know, a depth player. Best case, he's at number two corner.
Well, you know, speaking of injuries, we have Cordrea Tankersley possibly starting the year on the PUP, the physically unable to perform list. So that would make him out for the first 6 weeks. So we'll see what happens there. I think we would all agree that whoever's playing cornerback two is definitely going to get picked on this year. If I'm coming into a game plan scenario, I'm going to avoid Xavien Howard. It's not to say he can completely eliminate one side of the field. You know, I love Xavien. I don't think he's that type of cornerback, but I'm definitely going to err on the side of caution and go the other way. So whether it's Eric Rowe or Tank or Cornell Armstrong or any of the other guys that Houts listed, these guys are going to get their fair share of targets, and, you know, we'll see what happens on the field, whether these guys step up or not. The guy that's I'm curious about is Tank. And when you look back at 2018, it's a huge question mark for me. And I don't know if you guys know anything. I haven't been able to find anything about, you know, we interviewed Armando Salguero about what happened there. And it was just more or less, he kind of lost his confidence. But it doesn't explain to me what happened in 2018. He only got 29 snaps in one game. Now, granted, he only had 8 weeks before he had the ACL injury, hence the PUP thing. But what happened in that span that caused this shift? Because it's largely, you know, that they kept Matt Burke there to have the schematic consistency. So you would think, why is there such a drastic change there? You know, Torrey McTyre certainly didn't inspire any confidence. So I guess what's amiss there? 2018 is just a mystery to me. 2017, he had a really strong opening game against the Saints. They went at him five times in the opening drive, and he responded, almost getting an interception in the red zone. They only went twice after him after that. And I just felt, you know, he had some rookie moments and some inconsistency that you would expect from a rookie. But there was enough body of work that I thought there was really something to work with. And then, like I said, going into 2018, just a complete shell shock. I just have no idea what to make of that situation.
I don't know if you can really look at these past teams and kind of make conclusions based off that. I mean, the coaching staff basically got jettisoned, and it's kind of apparent that Matt Burke was not doing the right things with his defensive players, and Adam Gase was probably a bit in over his head, and I just can't put a lot of stock into what these players did. Then again, I can't really say that, right? Because then you're kind of discounting what Xavien Howard did, and you're discounting what Jerome Baker did last year. You're discounting what a lot of these other guys did who did play well. But I will also say that I think a lot of these guys were misused or not put in the best position to succeed. And if you're not a superstar athlete like someone like Minka Fitzpatrick who can overcome bad coaching, then you're just kind of stuck into where the coach has put you. So I'm really anxious to see, but you guys are both right. I mean, after Xavien Howard, there is nothing. You look at that. I mean, we saw Bobby McCain on the boundary last year. What a disaster that was. You can put Minka on the boundary, but then You know, you almost want to see Minka on the boundary, right? I mean, and this is just me talking out loud. Yes, he's one of the best. Went in the slot, could be one of the best in the NFL. He excelled in the slot at Alabama. He didn't do terrible in the boundary last year when he was put there. You keep Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald back in the secondary, and then you put Bobby McCain in the slot. Then you got Xavier Howard, you got Minka, you got Bobby McCain, and then you got those two in the back. Those are your best five guys on the field in the secondary. You put Minka in a slot, you put McCain at the safety position, unless you're bringing TJ McDonald down to play the linebacker position. I think there's going to be a lot of movement, and I'm really curious to see how it all shakes out. But if they do the what we're thinking with Minka in the slot, Bobby in the backfield, up in the secondary there, Xavier on the slot, obviously. You got Eric Rowe. You have Jalen Davis, Cordrea Tankersley, Torrey McTire, and Cornell Armstrong. And then a bunch of other guys. Not very promising.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, you know, say Tank is on PUP, he's coming back week seven, and then how is he coming right in week seven when everybody else has been able to work some of that game rust off? It's going to be a huge question mark for the 2019 Dolphins.
Yeah, let me just throw this out here. I know it doesn't really mean anything, but I did have a dream a few weeks ago that the Dolphins traded for a defensive back. It was none other than Detroit Lions' Darius Slay. So, I mean, I know there's probably no chance that he gets moved, but if it does and that happens, I am some kind of prophet. But for me, the biggest thing with this number two spot is that people are kind of, you know, they're not really giving it as much hype as some of those other positions that we're heading into this training camp. And I think that whoever ends up getting that number two spot, I mean, that's going to pay dividends for the remainder of the season. I mean, I agree with Kanata in the sense that maybe Minka is better on the boundary because you saw that he was capable of doing that. I still think Bobby McCain's better in the slot, but I do understand why you're moving him back to free safety if you're bringing Minka up, because I like probably what Bobby McCain does in coverage better than TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones. There's just a lot of moving pieces. What we need to realize is the Dolphins are moving to that New England-style defense. We know that they use dime packages. They use lots of defensive backs. The Dolphins are going to need a group of players that are more than capable. I mean, so whether or not it's the number two spot or whether it's depth down the line, most of these guys are going to see significant snaps. And lastly, they're going to be moved all throughout that defense. So if Bobby McCain's being prepped at free safety, that doesn't mean he's not going to be in the nickel. Same with Minka. We heard he's going to play some linebackers. So these guys are going to move all over the defense. But at the end of the day, the way that this defensive back group pans out opposite of the Xavier Howards and the Minkas and the Rashad Jones and the McDonalds, that you already kind of know what they are. It's going to go a long, long way to the 2019 Miami Dolphins and the future success of the Miami Dolphins.
You heard it here first, folks. Joshua Hout says the Dolphins are trading for Darius Slay this offseason before the regular season.
Yep, I think it was It might have been one of those third-round picks.
You are taking over Finsider Radio. First, you break the news about your fantasy football league. Then you talk about Eric Rowe in your film breakdown, and now you're telling us that Darius Slay is coming to Miami.
This is unbelievable.
This is why I can't take a vacation, because you miss these nuggets, and people, they need to start paying us for these things. We need to get, like, buku dollars, like Xavier Howard-type money, because you can't get this anywhere else.
Yeah, do you guys want to pay us? I'm talking like the listeners can answer us right now. They're probably in their car or office right now saying, no, we're not going to pay you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, they literally just turned the channel like, screw this, dudes.
Yeah, they just turned off Insider. They probably did that a while ago when House didn't get the memo about the toss to him to transition into Eric Rowe in the cornerback position.
Okay, well, you can edit it. You can do the Lord's work.
I'm not editing it.
You're probably going to fill in some you're just going to add like a whole freaking sentence that I didn't even say.
Now we're going back to raw dog in the show.
The listeners are to get all of us. They're going to get all of us in the nude, in the bear. We are not going to edit anything anymore.
The beer or the bear?
Oh, man, that's a good question. The bear. B-A-R-E.
Either way, you're setting me up for an alley-oop. An alley-oop that I wanted nothing to do with.
Yeah, it's like hot potato or something, you know, or like the floor is lava. You don't want to touch it.
Yeah, and you gave away my draft strategy in the Scott Fish Bowl.
Why did you give me the real answer then?
You didn't
have to be truthful about it. You could have just lied about it.
Yeah, but if McCaffrey, he's probably going to go number one overall.
McCaffrey's going to go number one or two. There's no way he's going to last till number three.
And the other thing, the article, I mean, what if I don't get it done? I'm notorious for that. So thanks.
Yeah, we're going to be upset with you.
Now I got to be up all night grinding this article that no one's going to read. Thank you.
More people will probably read the article than they do listen to our podcast.
All right. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Okay. So let's kind of wrap up things here. Let's we talked about House's Fantasy Football League. We talked about Sutton's Razor phone and his 35 children phone plan. We talked about my upcoming vacation. We talked about the cornerback position, the most important part of this podcast. Obviously, around the Miami Dolphins, time to get serious here. The number two cornerback position on defense, obviously a huge question mark and something the Dolphins are going to need to address during training camp. Now, we heard Omar Kelly on Twitter talking to his buddy Josh Houts. And Houts, you want to tell us about that conversation today?
Yeah, I think I just tweeted out. I was doing a little foreshadowing because I knew Sutton dropped the Cordrea Tankersley article that you can read on the finsider.com. Go check that out.
Yep.
So I was going to do my Eric Rowe article. I dropped a little nugget. You know, the last time Eric Rowe had an interception was Christmas Eve of 2016. It was none other than Ryan Fitzpatrick that threw the errant throw. So it's been a long, long time since Eric Rowe had an interception. But Omar Kelly kind of, you know, was just responding to that and then went out and dropped that little nugget about the Dolphins using Minka more in the slot and at nickel than Bobby McCain, and Bobby McCain moving back to free safety, which, again, we heard the rumors that he was working out there. But the way Omar Kelly made it sound was that this might be more of a bigger role than many of us expected.
I do think that will change as they go all throughout training camp. I think they will just kind of playing around there during mini camps and OTAs. I think as they get going and they see really what they have in the secondary, which is not much, I think they're going to do whatever they can to get the best five players on the field. Unless they go single high safety, that is always a possibility too, and then they can move things around even more. It's going to be very interesting. Patrick Graham, as defensive coordinator, has his hands full to scheme these guys the right way because the Dolphins don't have a good depth on the defensive line. The Dolphins don't have good depth in the secondary. Their linebacker position, which is weird to say, is probably their strongest position on the defensive side of the ball.
Yep, they're going to build versatility one way or another, and this is the time of year to see where people are strong, where maybe they haven't been evaluated yet. So these guys are going to, you know, they're going to explore every possibility. And at this point, I'm trusting this coaching staff to put guys in the right place.
Yeah. And you touched on it. It might not matter who wins that number two spot or what they do in the secondary. If they can't get any sort of pass rush, I mean, right now you're looking at Charles Harris and then a bunch of uncertainty to sit there and say that Charles Harris might be the biggest known pass rusher on this defense. That's a little sad. Scary. So, I mean, if you can't get to the quarterback, he's going to just sit back there all day and pick apart even the best secondary. So the Dolphins need to find a way to get a pass rush to help that secondary, and they need someone to step up at that number two spot.
We will see how it all shakes out this training camp in just a few weeks. The Dolphins will report back, and we will get ready for the NFL season. Just over 70 days until the first day, the first game, first regular season game, Bears versus Packers, and then it begins. The Dolphins Super Bowl quest begins for the 2019 season. And we will see how it all plays out. For Joshua Houts and Aaron Sutton, I am Matt Cannata. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time.
That was FinSider Radio, part of the FinSider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
Miami.